third quarter of this year was a difficult one as markets went into a tiz on trade war uncertainties and concerns around global growth, with even talk of the R word, recession, talked about as a possibility down the line. Key central banks came under a lot of focus and scrutiny as markets and some powerful political elements demanded a further easing in monetary policy. Well, to unpack their observations around the third quarter and where to next, I'm joined on the line by Sanisha Pakrisamy. She's an economist at Momentum Investments. Thanks very much, Sanisha. So during the third quarter, we heard about the so-called inverted yield curve and how that could be a prompter for a global recession. It was a time of real uncertainty. How would you characterize it and the effect it had on markets?
Good evening, Nompu, and good evening to your listeners. Thank you very much for having me on your show. Yes, so we did see the yield curve inverting, which is essentially you always have a yield curve that's sort of in positive territory with this going in negative territory. In the past, many recessions have been signaled when the yield curve does, in fact, start inverting. This time around, however, we think that there are some special factors leading to the inversion of the yield curve and not necessarily preempting a recession. And that has a lot to do with the quantitative easing that central banks have done, and that affects the long end of the yield curve. So this time might be a little bit different, given that there has been some technical factors affecting the yield curve, but the markets did take it quite negatively, and the risk of a recession in the United States is definitely rising, and it has had quite a significant impact on markets through the route of volatility, which has negatively impacted equity markets.
How did you see things play out for emerging markets, and why does it look as though South African equities were some of the hardest hit?
South African equities tend to be a bit of a high beta play on emerging markets because we are a well-traded market. And in this environment of what we call risk-off sentiment, when there is a bid for safe haven assets, investors tend to sell out of markets that look riskier, and they tend to go back into markets which are perceived to be safe havens. And as a result, we had investors continuing to buy debt that was at negative yielding levels, even though they could have been invested in emerging market assets, which would have given them a much higher return. But there seems to be this issue of high global policy uncertainty playing out, and that's really keeping the market very jittery. And as a result of that, we've been in this risk-off period, and that has caused a bit of an outflow from emerging markets, and with SA basically almost exacerbating that, given that we are quite a highly liquid market. So any play that's made on emerging markets is essentially made a lot bigger for the South African markets because we are more liquid.
Yeah. So the trade war has already been blamed for seeing economic slowdowns here and there, with organizations like the OECD and the IMF pointing their fingers at the damage that this thing could cause. What have the ramifications been for South Africa, if any?
I think that the global policy uncertainty has continued to rise, and that's been very negative for South Africa because it has caused a rise in volatility in global markets. And again, when we are in this risk-off period where investors are feeling very nervous about markets, they tend to not want to be in emerging markets where risk is perceived to be a bit higher. So again, South Africa has been negatively impacted from that perspective. But as we know, South Africa also has its own idiosyncratic risk factors playing out. We have our own domestic policy uncertainty that's at elevated levels, and that has also paired back on demand and investment in our own economy.
During the third quarter, there will have been a lot of focus on President Cyril Ramaphosa's new administration's efforts to turn the economy around. Has the current government moved the needle on making this happen, do you think?
I think what the market sees is very little meaningful change on the economic side and in terms of finding a resolution to financial and operational hardship at the state-owned entities. But where I do think that the president has been a bit more successful is in trying to shore up some support within his own ruling party. And he's also made some notable progress on confronting issues of corruption and starting to reestablish credibility amongst our institutions. So looking at the anti-corruption bodies and our governance institutions that have seen some improvement in the recent while. So as he said previously in some of his statements, that it will take some time to undo a lot of the damage that was done over previous years, and to implement change does in fact take time. So as South Africans, we need to be patient for that change to come through.
We're now firmly in the fourth quarter. We've recently learned that the US and China appear to be on the right track with their trade discussions, although speaking to our market analyst earlier, he was saying that, you know, when the tweet came out, markets got excited, but looking at the detail, it's not that exciting, but that's a conversation for another day. But then again, of course, we know that this could be short-lived. And then on top of that, monetary easing has been the order of the day. Could these elements see a rosier end to the year globally?
I think there are two dynamics that are currently playing out for emerging markets, including South Africa. So the one is this very negative trade war rhetoric that we're seeing between the US and China. And even if there is some alleviation on the trade tariff side of things, we are getting a bit worried of an extension of this war starting to go into other perspectives of the economy. So, for example, there are now 28 entities that US companies are barred from selling components without government approval, and these are all Chinese high-tech companies. We've also heard the White House speaking about potentially reducing the allocation of the US pension funds to the Chinese market. We've also heard that the White House wants to restrict the number of Chinese companies that are listed on their own stock exchanges. So I think, you know, if the trade wars start to move into those areas beyond trade, then we start to get into a scenario where the growth outlook for China could suffer, and they may need to become a bit more interventionist in terms of their policy measures in order to shore up higher rates of growth. So that's the one negative dynamic. And on the positive side, as you say, there's a lot of pressure on central banks to lower interest rates even further. And we know that many of the central banks are already operating with very limited room left to cut interest rates, which means that they might have to do more quantitative easing, as we've already seen with the likes of the European Central Bank. And of course, more stimulus into the market means more global liquidity swishing around, and that's generally quite a positive for emerging markets. So these two dynamics seem to be playing off each other, and as we see risk on, risk off bouts of sentiment come through, we're seeing, you know, more positives come through for emerging markets and then dipping into more negative news for emerging markets. And we think that that volatility is likely to play out in the near term.
Sanisha, more to ask, but not enough time. Thank you so much for your time. That was Sanisha Pakrisamy. She's an economist at Momentum Investments.